Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thing's been through quite a few presidential administrations.
Coach, it was made by Spalding. I don't think they make sporting goods, let alone golf clubs anymore. It's that old.
The persimmon is an edible fruit and a number of species of trees in the genus. I can't pronounce. I'm not even going to bother with that. The most widely cultivated of these is the Asian or Japanese persimmon. So you're out there hitting a fruit, a
yes,
Japanese fruit.
Not a spice, so which was why I came back with cinnamon before.
Also
I was...
not cinnamon.
Correct. That's also
go.
True.
Here we go.
I think you mean cinnamon, Joe. No, no, I don't. I mean Japanese fruit. I just didn't know it yet.
Oh, yeah. Good old persimmon.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, a radio.com station. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday. It is great to have you with us. We have not a million things to get to today, but quite a few. One of which is Danny White. He's going to be joining us in just a few moments. Drew Bledsoe will join the program today at 8:30. And at 8:45, mark it down. We got tickets to give away because it's Friday. But I haven't gotten the email yet on what those tickets are. Mm-hmm. So who knows? They could be Super Bowl tickets. Probably not Super Bowl tickets. I'm going to throw that out there. But
wow.
They could be.
Could be.
Because no one's told me they aren't yet.
Could be a strong possibility.
Yeah. So I'm pulling a little okey-doke on the listeners here. But the beef line is coming up in 29 minutes. So if you have a problem with that okey-doke or you don't like the Japanese fruit persimmon, 415-403-8588. Best calls every Monday and Friday, 415-403-8588.
I know we were talking about Steph before we got derailed, and as I digest...
You what led you to the thought process that we were derailed? We were aiming to talk about persimmon today.
Oh, is he on the phone yet? If not, I was going to say, there's a couple guys at two sports that was pretty amazing. I think you got to start with Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Because he was good at both. Steph is a good golfer. You can't say that he's not good.
He's fantastic.
But what Deion Sanders was doing in baseball and what Bo Jackson was doing in baseball and football, those were two guys, especially Bo, that I thought was almost dominating a second sport as well. I don't think Steph necessarily is dominating.
Who's the best two-sport athlete of all time? I'm sure we're probably missing one from like the 40s or 50s.
Well, I think it all starts with Jim Brown when you talk about one of the great
Jim.
Lacrosse players
oh,
of
yeah.
all time and an unbelievable football player, obviously. And Wilt Chamberlain you would throw up there as well, a guy who played Olympic-level volleyball as well as being one of the great basketball players of all time.
Okay.
So just as we get the old guys out of the way,
yeah.
Now
dude,
let's
set the criteria for a little bit of a younger demo, if that's okay.
No, definitely. But I think in these conversations, you always have to do a quick tip.
Of course.
Tip of the fedora for those of us who were born before 1988.
Well, if you're going to go down that, if you're going to go down that rabbit hole and really think about that, if you think about who's arguably, you know, which people say, and I don't have to say it, but arguably one of the greatest fullbacks of all time. And then if you think about the wrestling prowess that probably could have went on the Olympic team, I think if you talk about two sports that was...
Are you talking about yourself? Yeah, I give you credit. You were a hell of a wrestler.
I was ranked number 3 in the country. People wanted me to think that I could... I'm telling you, I was... It wasn't like I was some slap.
Yeah, but if you... What, I, no, you know, no, no. No one would say that.
Kurt
you
Angle,
still
Kurt
own
Kurt,
the
Kurt.
California State High School record for fastest pin, 8 seconds. I'm a huge fan of that. You know that.
Yeah, and Kurt,
I'm a huge fan of all people who wrestle. It's a very demanding sport.
Kurt Angle won the Olympics.
A true Olympian.
Yes. So I'm just saying, I'm in those conversations.
I don't think you know? I think that
if I'd been
the distinction has to be, I think if you had made the Olympic team, then we could talk about it.
Then how
you.
Would you say to Jim Brown then? That's the only reason I went there is because Jim Brown played in college and he was unbelievable. He was freaking up.
All right. So see what you did here?
You see what he
You took a conversation about Deion, Bo,
right.
and Steph, and now Lowe's in it.
No, that's Lowe put himself in it. That was a self-injection. Now, if we're talking about the best two-sport athletes.
Then here come the Jim Thorpe. Oh, my God.
If we're talking about the best two-sport athletes in the room, Thorpe. Then you're certainly in the conversation.
Wow. Yeah.
I was quite an ultimate frisbee player.
For all the people in this room, you are on the Mount Rushmore of two-sport athletes. So congratulations on that.
We'll even give you the Washington spot because you did have a nice little run in wrestling.
Are you so out of words right. this
just,
quick?
No, it's just been a long week, huh?
He's praying
it's,
for me over there.
Yes, exactly. If you don't say anything, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say it at all.
That rule does not apply to this show, and you know that.
That's why I just
you say something mean.
Okay, so I just took a deep breath and I said, okay, if that's what you want to do. But I think if you using Jim Brown's criteria, then that's what I was saying. But
all right, fine. You were a remarkable two-sport athlete.
It's only California Athlete of the Year and all kinds of different. But anyhow,
down year, you know it. Curtis Conway,
Janet, Olympic winner, Michael Chang, the little Asian guy, freaking great, honest tennis player.
If we want to talk about,
he's an American. Why do you immediately have to go to the?
I'm talking about color guys, but white guys.
It's amazing.
What is wrong with you guys? Why do you guys always laugh at something like that?
You know what? I don't know. I don't know why when you say that I laugh. I have no idea. I think it's maybe because to this day, even after 4 years of this, it still catches me off guard. Michael Chang, the Asian guy. I know who Michael Chang is without you adding that second part.
Why do people do that? The black guy or the white guy. I'm not the only one, am I?
You're not. You're certainly not the only one. But in this day and age, sometimes those type of comments, you don't mean it offensively.
Yeah.
But I think some people can take those sort of comments offensive. That's why I always find it amusing because you just have you're not even trying to just be like Michael Chang, the tennis player.
No.
Like, no, Michael Chang, the Asian guy.
Michael Chang, the guy from Palisades. No, we don't do that either.
You know? Of all the ways you could refer to Michael Chang, you use the one that is the most likely to get you in hot water, which is probably what I find amusing. That's the direction you go. Anywho.
I was about to throw out Rod Woodson, a guy who was a Olympic-level hurdler. He actually was on those European circuits and also was a pretty decent little football player as well.
Yeah.
As we're trumpeting your great achievements in a niche sport, let's get Rod Woodson a little bit further above you.
Niche sport.
It is.
Would you say Steph is a better two-sport athlete than Jordan? If you had to pick two, who's the better two-sport athlete? Steph Curry, hoops, golf, versus Michael Jordan, golf, baseball.
I don't think it's close. It's Steph.
It's Steph.
Absolutely.
Steph.
235 batting average isn't doing a lot for you?
No.
Double-A affiliate Birmingham?
I think Jordan is obviously a few notches above, but not completely looking down upon Tim Tebow as a two-sport athlete. Tebow's baseball career greater than Jordan's, and it's not even close. Tebow's hitting .275 in Double-A this year with six bomb skis. Now, granted, he wasn't as good even at college football, if you forget his pro career.
Watch yourself. He was a Heisman finalist 3 years in a row.
That's what I'm saying. If you forget Tebow's pro career and just say, look at Tebow as a college player, he's one of the greatest of all time. But he wasn't equal to Jordan, obviously, in what he was in his sport.
All right.
But that was the way I was going with that.
I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Bo Jackson's overrated as a two-sport athlete. Now, before you panic, I'm a huge Bo fan. Had the shoes, the poster, all that stuff. This is not to knock Bo, and it's not to troll everybody. But Bo's football career was very, very short. Bo's total yardage, what'd he run for? Like 1,700 yards for his career? When he played, he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. And he was a tremendous baseball player. But the brevity of his football career, you really have to take stock of that. Jordan gets knocked for the performances in baseball, right? And it's understandable. He did not perform well at Double-A baseball. Bo, while playing in the NFL, and while great when playing, played for such a minute period of time. How much credit can you give? You can't give him more credit than Deion. You've got to say Deion was a better two-sporter than Bo, do you not?
38 games for Bo Jackson and 2,800 yards, basically.
Okay, so 2,800.
All right. Good. I mean,
way
great.
More than I had said. He deserves a lot more credit than that. But that's a brief career.
It was brief, but look at his college and all the things that he was on.
We can't take that into account, though, can we? Are we taking college into account for all this?
What did you see when he was on the field? Was he not electrifying? Even though for a short,
I loved him. I loved him. He was amazing watching him every time he played. But it was such a short period of time he played pro football. You've got to take stock of that.
You do.
You can't rank him ahead of Deion.
But he was so dominant during that time. So and then you watch him in baseball with a freaking broken hip, with a half hip, with a fake hip, still able to go yard. I thought it was pretty amazing.
Well, yeah.
So
I did too. I just
don't think he's because he didn't play
38 games. It's only 38 games.
5.4 a tote, by the way.
I mean, you got Blaine Gabbert out there putting up.
I know he's
tough.
About the numbers,
longer career.
Yeah. So it's not the troll because I know there are so many Bo fans. People my age grew up with Bo. We all loved Bo. It's just if you're going to rank the two sport athletes, when he played, he was amazing. But football-wise, it was such a brief stint. It's tough if you're going to try to rank him over Deion. Deion had an unbelievably lengthy NFL career. And then the baseball career was sizable as well, although Bo probably wins in terms of baseball production over Deion. Steph, I mean, do you see him in a couple years if he retires? Do you think he tries to get on one of these tours and tries to make a second career out of golf?
I think he tries, absolutely. Now, whether or not he can, that's a gigantic leap. To go from where he is, which as a handicap, I think he's a plus one, which means he's better than scratch, which is zero. He's really good, but he's still probably five or six shots, maybe 3 to 6 shots worse than the guys he's competing with per round. So over a 4-round tournament, realize that if he plays well, and he played well yesterday, he's still likely losing by 20 shots.
Good
so
point.
So that's what he would have to make up to go from being more than a novelty. He's a legitimate threat to maybe make the cut, but that leap from there to even being in contention on this tour, let alone the big boy tour, this is like double A. So this is like him putting up stats in double A versus what Tim Tebow is doing.
All right, here's what we got to do. We've got a big hour coming up. The Money Spot's going to be next. We've got Danny White, Super Bowl champion, set to join us to recap last night's Niners-Cowboys game. We got the beef line at 7:30, and then we're right back into the Niners. The injuries, who's going to step up, who we should be concerned about, all that. Big hour next. Brace yourselves. It's going to be huge here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, the enthusiastic listening audience, because we love you and because this is a big show coming off preseason game number one. Beefline at 7:30. Dave Matthews tickets to give away at 8:45. But right now to the phones we go. Super Bowl champion, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Catch him now as the Cowboys radio analyst on Compass Media Networks. Danny White joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Danny, thank you so much for your time. How you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
It's good to be with you again. Thank you so much. Let's get into last night's game. How impressed were you with the Cowboy offense on that opening drive? Lo Neal here always lays out the case that it's sometimes easier for defenses to come together faster than offenses during the preseason, but the Cowboy offense made quick work of that Niner defense early in the game.
Yeah, you know, they did. It was an impressive drive, and got in the end zone and got out, and then that was about it. And, you know, both teams, you know, we're missing some guys. Cowboys didn't have Ezekiel Elliott, and of course the Niners didn't have Sherman, you know, at corner, which would have probably made a big difference on the touchdown pass. And I made the comment that, you know, it was a nice move and a nice throw, but Richard Sherman being out there makes a difference. So, you know, you take it for what it is, and the Cowboys felt good about their first group out there, I know, and you know, we'll take that as a sort of a victory, but you got to hand it to Nick Mullins and that San Francisco offense for making that final drive and putting it in the end zone and winning the game.
Pretty exciting for the young quarterback to have that opportunity in the preseason, and it was Jimmy Ward who was beaten on that deep play when Dallas scored the touchdown. How much can you get from these games to where do you risk playing your starters more to get more reps, or is the injury risk so great that you really have to hold back with how much time you give these guys?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, as a coach, you want to get these guys some reps because, you know, the way training camp is now, you don't ever hit, you know, and there's very little contact in practice. And so this is about the only chance you get to kind of get your body ready for the regular season. And so the trick is to get guys ready for the season without exposing them too much to injury. And I know the Cowboys don't want Elliott. He is so important to this team. And so they don't want to, you know, risk injury. But at the same time, he's got to get out there and get his body banged around a little bit and get hit a little bit and get used to that. So, you know, every guy is different, and you have to treat each guy with talk to him. What does he feel like he needs? And you know, make a decision based on that. But boy, it's tough to know exactly how much to play him and how much to keep him out.
Dan, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that these guys do need to be fitting up. You don't necessarily have to do the 9-on-7, but a lot more drills in there where these guys are hitting, banging a little bit that they can control and not cutting because of the fact you're, like you said, injuries. But their bodies right. are has not gotten tough enough, in my opinion, as well, especially the ways that we used to get out there, 9-on-7, goal line. We didn't care, you know, even doing practices. So, but let's talk about the quarterback position. Dak Prescott and Jimmy G, both these guys don't have, you know, huge amounts of times as starters. You know, Dak had the year, you know, when he Tony Romo goes down and he has this amazing year. Last year, kind of a year, mediocre year. You saw Jimmy G, he got the big contract, won 5 straight games. What goes through the process as developing as a average quarterback to a good quarterback to a great quarterback? Where these two young men are in their growth?
It remains to be seen. For Dak Prescott, I think we're going to find out a lot about him this year because this is now his team. The last couple of years, it's been Dez and it's been Jason, and those guys have, you know, they're constantly, and I know what it's like when you've got a veteran receiver in your ear wanting the ball and saying, I can get open on this, I can get open on that. Now Dak's got, And you know, last night he completed passes to 15 guys. And I think that's going to be kind of the way it is for the Cowboys this season, is there are going to be a lot of receivers catching balls, and Dak can just read the defense and go where the defense dictates that he go. So I think we'll learn a lot about Dak. And for Jimmy, you know, man, so far so good. What can I say? You know, when you've never lost a game that you've started, you know, he's been in a system and under arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play the game. And, you know, I'm sure he's learned a ton from Tom Brady, and he brings that here to San Francisco. And I credit John Lynch, man, for going out there and getting him and doing what he had to do. He sure looks like the real deal. I don't think we can tell a lot from last night yet, but we will shortly. And it's got to be exciting, you know, around here for all the Niner fans to have that piece of the puzzle in place.
Super Bowl champ, former Dallas Cowboys quarterback Danny White joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Reuben Foster, 49er linebacker, is going to be suspended for the first 2 games of the season at Minnesota and then week 2 home against Detroit. But he played into the second quarter last night, got a lot of reps and was flying around the field. Were you able to, and I know as you're calling the game, you're trying to watch everything, but what did you think of Reuben's performance last night?
Yeah, I think he was probably the highlight of the defense. It's just real, real active and, moves around a lot, goes sideline to sideline, all the things that you look for, in a linebacker. And I thought the Cowboys, Leighton Vander Esch, same kind of deal. But we saw about 5% of what we really need to see. Now, Reuben Foster's got, you know, a much larger body of work to look at, go back and review. And I know the Niners are going to rest him or are going to miss him. And, they've got to figure out a way to get through those first couple of games. And then get him back out on the field. But, so far he's everything that, I think the whole Niner team really kind of kept the pace going from the end of last season. I think Niner fans have got a lot to look forward to.
He won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys as their starting quarterback. Check him out now. Cowboys radio analyst, Compass Media Network's Danny White with us here on 95.7 The Game. Danny, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Travel safe. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
Hey, you're welcome. Love to be with you anytime. Thanks.
Thank you. Danny White, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Danny.
I was thinking this about Reuben Foster. Is it somewhat of a prerequisite of the job to be a little crazy to be a linebacker?
Yes.
If you ranked all the great linebackers of all time, how many of them were not a little trying to think of the best way to say this because I don't want to be offensive, but I do want to get the point across. Like off balance, right? Like the quarterback position, by and large, there are personality traits that are inherent in most great quarterbacks. Leadership qualities, serious demeanors, you know, focused, organized, things of that nature. Like Brady and Manning and Breeze, they don't come across as crazy guys. They come across as serious guys. But great linebackers, Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, some of them come across as nuts. Foster needs a little bit of nuts in him, obviously, right, to succeed at linebacker? Or can you look at Zach Thomas and the career he put together and say, no. No, you can do it by being a Luke Kuechly type or a Zach Thomas type.
Yeah, Patrick Willis was the first one I thought of as a guy who was all business, and I know his career was self-inflictedly cut short, but he was on a Hall of Fame track. He still may get there someday. I think when you're playing the position now and you're trying to go sideline to sideline, you got to have that hair on fire sort of approach. I don't necessarily think you have to be that demonstrative, but it's interesting how certain positions have certain personality traits. You don't see a lot of wide receivers catching it, getting 17 yards, and then just gently, quietly handing the ball to the official. You see a lot of demonstrations and hijinks and histrionics from that position. It's interesting when you lay that out with middle linebacker, you do see a lot more guys who are, I guess you have to be vocal to be the leader of the defense and all that, so it tends to be that more of a person.
Like offensive linemen, interior D linemen, kind of goofy, jokesters, quarterbacks very serious, presidential, wide receivers very showboaty, linebackers semi-crazy,
fullbacks highly intelligent, good leaders.
I think extinct like dinosaurs.
I think linebackers, guys, I don't think they're crazy. I think they're tough. I think if you look at Brian Urlacher, tough. Zach Thomas, guys, tough. You know, you look at Jesse Tuggle, Sam Mills, tough.
Bill Romanowski.
You look at guys.
Okay.
Boy.
Okay. None of us are crazy, okay?
I mean, but.
And guess what?
Guess what, guys?
Turns out we are crazy, okay?
But most of them, but Bill's tough. You think about those guys, you guys still say it, you know, they're still tough.
I think this is one of your newsflash moments.
No, because you're saying they're crazy. I'm thinking they're tough. I don't think they're crazy. I think that they are tough, and that's a difference.
Yeah.
You look at most linebackers, I just think they're tough.
Aren't all football players tough?
No, they're not. They're not even close to being. All the football players are not tough.
A
quarterback is not necessarily tough. Receivers aren't necessarily tough. I mean, there's a lot of punters aren't necessarily tough. Long snappers aren't not necessarily tough.
How dare you say that about John Kondo?
Man.
Friend of the program.
I love Johnny.
Number one in our hearts.
I talked to Johnny the other day. Actually, I talked to Johnny 2 days ago.
So then why come on here and take a swipe?
I'm not taking it. You asked me if all football players are tough, and I said, no, you know that, Joe. All football players aren't tough.
We just played golf with a punter who's now a good friend of ours. Mike Horan, and you're basically calling him a wuss.
Oh my God!
Wouldn't say it to his face over the course of a five-hour round.
You guys just turn this around. We're talking. I'm done.
Straight up to my
face. That's not what it is. It's not turning it around. You say words, and then we ask you questions about your words, and then you claim you're being attacked.
Go to the text line. Text line, help me out here.
The text line's not going to help you. I'm looking at it right now. The text line's a mess. It's a huge mess. It's all over the place. The guy's asking me about The Wire. He says the first season started too slow. Don't worry. It's one of the greatest shows on TV. Four reasons. Stick with it. It's a grind, but it's fantastic.
Text line, 95599.
By season four gets hot. Stacking them in the vacancy.
Maybe not so much with the Polish shipyard stuff. I think that's season two.
Season two, yeah.
That's one that's widely regarded as the worst of the season. Still good, but Sabatka. The Frank Sabatka season.
Sabatka. Hey, Sabatka. Oh, it's Sabatka.
But Ruben looked good last night. I mean, if he can just keep his head on straight, stay out of trouble, follow the straight and narrow. And you know what they did in the locker room? They moved his locker. He's now surrounded by Richard Sherman, Pierre Garçon, and Earl Mitchell. You think that's a coincidence? Why would a team feel the need to do that? To take Ruben Locker and position him around Pierre Garçon, Earl Mitchell, and Richard Sherman?
They believe that he has a future. And they believe that this is going to be your defensive. This is your leader on your defense. He has the potential to lead this defense. And that's why you want to surround him with offensive leaders, defensive leaders, guys that's been in this league. They surround him, a guy that they believe, Ruben Foster, could be the best defensive player on their team. They surround him with veteran guys that have leadership that can teach him how to lead. They put him around pros to teach him how to be a pro.
From the 408 on the text line, in defense of Lo Neal, which is hyphenated for some reason and is spelled N-I-E-L.
I'll allow it.
Yesterday, Dibby got on Lowe about the Bonds homer and not really being there, yet in a radio interview about golf, he was told Curry, it goes on and on. Did you guys do the Bonds thing again yesterday? Where Lowe felt the homer but didn't see the homer?
He actually was telling the story to Cozy.
Cozy was with me, and he jumped in and crushed me, as usual.
Oh, so you were, okay.
He was trying to misappropriate, because Coz asked him what his favorite Bonds memory was, and Lowe was telling about the time that he felt that home run in San Diego. And so I was just adding some spice along the way, just making sure that the listeners knew that the story he was talking about was the homer that he actually never saw.
Well, when you feel the Spirit of God, you don't see
Amen,
God, you
brother.
Just feel it. So you don't see him. Gosh,
so Barry Bonds.
I just felt it.
Go on.
I was in the building, Joe.
I know. You were late to the game. Bonds hit the homer as you were walking
there.
In. You told the world you saw it. And then when we all had our famous sports confessions day, we emptied the chamber.
Yep.
We told a lot of things that we haven't told to a lot of people. Dibs, had you ever told anyone about leaving Candlestick?
No. Right. Only Haberman and Middlecoff knew. No one of the soul knew I crept out of that Niner game. Who saw the Navarro pick six, the walk-off pick six?
That was a hell of a pick six, dude.
I felt
what
it
a moment to
from
miss.
The parking lot.
Yeah, as long as you can feel it. Technically, it counts in some
You
books.
Were laving. I was coming.
I heard that roar in the Sunnydale.
Anywho, it's 7:30. It's Friday. You know how we do.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. This is the Beef Line, proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
All right, here we go. The Beef Line is presented by our good friends at Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods. Caller numero uno.
Oh, yeah. Got some beef in my team. Got some chicken, too. Ow! Check this out, man. Y'all said beef, so now I'm in it to win it. Nothing to lose. Jump in the ocean with seaman shoes. My only beef, truly, is that y'all stop running the Herocious. You know, that was the best music bed in the world, not only because I tried to help y'all out with that one, but because it's tight. You know, the segment just goes. All of a sudden, you got all these freaking clones. I know what happened to the show. I know what happened to the segment. Let me do a disclaimer for you. Saying something sucks is not a take. Two, personal appearance is not show fodder. Three, you can't take a take off the air. I don't know if you need my number or not, because I ain't won the competition yet. Very much so looking forward to getting in contact with you guys, because I know can't nobody beat me. Oh, should have given up pick right there.
A lot going on right there. I felt a little bit like stream of consciousness, but strong. He's clearly making a case, that gentleman making a case for the gift certificate we give out from Harris Ranch at the end of each month. Best beef line call. So if you need the number, 415-403-8588. Best call is played Monday and Fridays at 7:30. If you are the best call at the end of the month, you get that $100 gift certificate. Herocious hot takes was something we did during the NFL season. Should we bring it back?
Absolutely bring it back. Absolutely. Yes. I got the beds ready, and Lowe's got it for his 4 or 5 Tuesday takes on what was bad from NFL.
Absolutely.
And I think that beef line call could be the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yes.
The baffler.
All right. Caller number two.
This message is for Joe. You're talking about the AFC West. You said something about the Rams. Talking about they did too much too soon. That makes no sense. When you make a statement, Joe, please make that.
Whoa.
Thanks so much for nitpicking a verbal mistake I made. 4 hours. Who would have thought I would have said AFC West instead of NFC West for the Rams? Clearly, I don't know football.
We thought about doing a mistake segment at the end of our show and have our producer jump on and tell us all the mistakes we made, but we'd have to allocate 2 segments to it.
Couldn't do that because the producer would make several mistakes while listing the mistakes, and the whole thing would be a mess. Yeah, that's right. And because you don't have a microphone back, there's nothing you can do about it. How you feel about that? Call number three.
This is Dex from the town, man. This is for Harold the Boo Boo Johnson, because you're damn sure not a guru. Hey, man. Wow. Your parents couldn't spell, man. Your name ain't Daryl. It's Darley. That don't make any sense, man. You know what? You think like Denzel Washington, man. More that look like Denzel Delaware. You know, hey, you better lay off that perm, man, or your hair gonna fall off. You're not gonna have no hair. Just like Lowe has no Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Lowe's all excited, and then he got burned at the end.
Right.
Wow, a lot to dissect from that phone call.
Daryl the Boo Boo Johnson. I didn't laugh at that.
How did he pronounce his name based on the way it's spelled? Darlie?
Yes.
Darlie and Greg, the famous ABC sitcom. Darlie and Greg.
Not bad. Darlie and Greg.
I'll say this about Guru. He and Steinmetz, I'm starting to love that show more and more every day. Like, I'm getting more and more hooked on it. Now, we come out and we end up in meetings and we have things going on, so we never get to catch a lot of 10 to noon. But I've been catching more and more. Those two are hitting their stride.
I love you, Joe. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. You know I love you. We're going to go watch the Pirates this weekend, Joe. We can go watch the Giants.
I'm good, Joe. I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Who else we got?
This is Akeem from the 408. And you know what really grinds my gears? I have beef with all you talking heads out there talking about that. There's nothing to talk about sports, the dog days of July, this and that. We have Steve Bruce talking about ping pong, golf, or crochet. We have Greg Papa taking a vacation every single July because he probably doesn't have anything to talk about. And then worst of all, we have you guys in the morning talking about the A's. We know they're not going to win anything in the playoffs. I'm just so glad that football's back so I can stop hearing about you talking heads. Dog days of July. I have one thing to say to everyone. Do your job.
Wow, the rare you talk too much A's phone call.
Wow.
That's quite the contrarian position right there.
Let's go ahead and bookmark that and repackage that for possible Senski later across the old Bay Bridgey. Thank you. Appreciate
that. I pride ourselves on our content. I think no matter what day of the year you throw out there, we can come in here and we can deliver a hell of a show. We might have to dig down deep some days, but we'll find some stuff. But a lot of that is a testament to how awesome this area is when it comes to sports. I have friends that work in radio in San Diego, cities around the country. They wish they were working here with everything we have. I mean, there is a lull for maybe 5 minutes a year, and that's it, man. This town is stacked with sports.
And it's cooking, especially with that Warrior thing going into mid-June. So, sorry, sir, if we didn't deliver for your July. We'll see you next year.
Yeah. I was off for most of July, floating down the Snake River.
Must be nice.
It was.
Quite nice, I'm sure.
Snake River, it's got to be awesome, man. I love to do that.
Put Low in an inner tube with two Coors Lights. Send him down the river.
Sharp's Ice is what he's drinking these days.
Maybe keep him out
of
the
river.
He
tried to get me to drink.
Oh, Duel's Amber.
He tried to get you to drink?
Yes. Come on, man.
He's been clean for more than a year. Why would you do that?
Do with me, Lo. Fall off with me. Come on. Sitting in the car. He's drinking. I love you.
Why'd you do that, Dibs?
I was tired of watching him swing and miss on the golf ball, which also happened.
You know, you're turning 50 next week. You got this great thing going on Twitter. You have a life lesson for everyone every day. You take a guy who hasn't had a sip of booze in 18 months and you try to get him to drink.
Today's lesson, don't be a quitter. Stick to your guns. Meet me at the bar.
Next one up.
Yeah, this is Jeff and Hayward. It's not so much about you guys. I called a couple Fridays ago on the next show after you guys put down what I thought was okay, and you could hear the main guy getting up and cutting me off and then apologizing after because I was listening on the radio. I didn't listen to him on the following Monday. And then I heard that they backtracked on everything from my coworkers. And, Lo, put this one in your Rolodex. It's not Squad Douche. It's Squad Deuce because those two are deuces. I'm out.
I didn't follow all that. It felt like shots at me.
He got cut off one time, and he was upset about it. So then he didn't listen. And then he did listen, and Lo said Squad Douche when it really is Squad Deuce. Apparently, we're the ace and the deuce, and I don't know.
Then start your own radio show, and then when I call you, you can cut me off. Around here, we make the rules. Newsflash, you got to be able to run to do radio. What else we got?
Hello, guys. Yeah, my beef is know your audience. The fact is, your audience is mainly adults, but sometimes when you tune in, it's like tuning into a sixth-grade recess session or something. Ridiculous chatter that I hear from you guys isn't fit for adult consumption. Some of the crap that you talk about that you think is funny among yourselves and all this personal stuff, first of all, we're not really interested in your personal lives. I mean, we like you, but we don't tune in because we're interested in your life.
Wow.
It's not so much a beef as it is a factual account of what we do for a living.
Yeah, sixth grade, check.
Yeah.
Talk about ourselves, check again.
I love sixth grade, personally.
Yeah, it was a good year for me. 1978, I'll never forget it.
I mean, we like you, but we don't want to hear about your life.
Right,
you know, the rest of the show, I'm going to talk about my life. what I had for lunch, what I'm thinking about, my dreams and aspirations.
How's that gas mileage of the new car, Joe?
We got anything else? Fire away.
I turn on the morning show, and I get the freaking Kardashians. I mean, Chloe, you're like Chloe. Oh, my nails. Let me clip my thick toenails so they can flick all over the studio and take somebody's eyes out. But I know I'm important, so I don't care. And Dibs, I mean, you are like Kim. You are just, shall I say, dumb. I mean, you are just so dumb, you're likable. And Joe, you're like Courtney. You're just, I can't stand that Kardashian. I can't stand a Courtney. And you are like that on the show. You're the one I cannot stand. You sit there like you don't do anything and like you have all the answers to everything. And you, Gianna, you are the mom. You're just pimping all of them out. Trying to be quiet, like you're not there, and not, you're like, I'm just going to be quiet and let them make asses of themselves, and I'll just get famous off of it. Give me a break. Don't be the Kardashians.
Oh, I'll tell you something. That right there is probably the call of the month.
He had everything.
As much as I hate to have to acknowledge that. That is probably your front runner for the $100 gift certificate from our friends at Harris Ranch.
I was thinking the same thing until he absolutely choked on the Gianna instead of the Anna.
Isn't that a burn, though? Isn't that the burn to call her Gianna?
Maybe you're right.
For him to lay out his beef with us so thoroughly and then to just assume Gianna's doing mornings and not Anna, that's probably him taking a shot at you by calling you Gianna.
I think that was a shot fired.
It's possible.
That's my guess.
I think he just choked it. I think he got confused. He's an AM PM listener, and he got his female parts mixed up.
Did he nail us on the Kardashians? Would I be Courtney? Would you be Kim? And Lo, would you be Chloe? Is that how that plays?
The way he described it, I mean, I'm not obviously smart enough to answer that based on the call. I'm the dumb one, dumb yet likable. I'll take that. I think he nailed it. Absolutely.
All right. Was that the last one?
I thought he was going to go. That was. I thought he was going to go.
That was kind of brutal.
Direction on me as Kim, so I'm glad he just painted me with that brush.
You don't have a tape out there?
Oh, he's going to talk about his. Yeah, you thought I.
Or maybe mine. Yeah, no tape, coach. No tape. I tried to shop it, but no one was interested.
Wow,
it's a shame. Part of our Beefline sponsorship deal with our friends at Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the best beef of the month, which you may have just heard. Each month, we will give away a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Knob Hill Foods. Best calls every Monday and Friday at 7:30. The number is 415-403-8588. Now, you heard what may be the front runner, but you still have half a month to top that thing. So 415-403-8588. Let's hear it. I got to tell you, generally, I'm pretty thick-skinned. That one shook me a little bit. Like, that series of calls, we got busted up pretty good there.
Yeah, that was actually, I was just texting or G-chatting our board op, nice guy Steven. That
right,
might
of
be
course,
our,
as opposed to paying attention to the program.
To the read, I've heard 87 times. You were nailing it.
It's the business.
He memorized it by
thus, you didn't need me to just lock in on every single syllable. And I was telling him, great beef line today. He did some good editing, and the callers delivered as well.
What editing? They hit play on the voicemail, and then it comes over the air.
Apparently.
Can I just say, on that Kardashian
call? No, you
call,
can't. Turn that microphone off.
He had about 3 minutes worth of content for you guys, and I cut off about 2 minutes worth of it. So
there you go.
Hard work out here in the board opera.
All right. Just get ready for Outside Lands tomorrow, you freaking millennials. It's good stuff, though. Nice work back there. I don't know. Shook status. Oh, what do you do?
Keep moving.
Yeah, is that how you do it?
And I don't know about that call. He went down my road pretty hard. I'm not a prima donna.
You're pretty shook too.
Yeah, I'm shook because I was like, really? I was listening to that. I don't know. It was funny, but no. Whatever.
You don't like being Chloe?
No.
Well, who would you want to be?
I don't want to be anyone.
You have to pick one for the sake of the argument. So who would it be? And this is a playback to the guy two calls prior who doesn't like us talking about things like this. Sorry, sir.
Yes, let's talk sports, Joe.
No, you have to answer the question, then we'll talk sports. Which, if you had to be one of the Kardashians, which would you be?
I'd be the youngest one now because she's friggin' making money. She's friggin'.
You're talking one of the Jenner girls.
Yeah, one of the Jenner.
So he's Kendall, yeah. Probably.
Those are not Kardashians.
Can't even play along.
I did not ask which Jenner you want to be. The correct answer being Brody. He's got Malibu Beach House, very nice lifestyle. I'm asking you which Kardashian you want to be.
I'd be the oldest one.
Kim.
The one, Kim, the oldest one? No, the one that you are.
Courtney's the oldest one?
Yes.
Really?
I would want to be Courtney.
Fun fact.
So I'd want to be the one that they picked you to be, Courtney.
I'd say the same thing. Just because she's cold and unlikable, but she does her own thing.
Does her own thing.
Oh, she's my favorite. She's so cold and unlikable.
I like her. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be the prima donna or, you know, I just want to be.
You don't want to be out dating Tristan Thompson and James Harden and Lamar Odom.
No, I'd rather be her. She's just
under the radar too.
Yes.
As Kim, you can't go anywhere. You know, everywhere you go, you're simply mobbed. You know, the older one, throw a hat on her and a frown, and no one's going to say boo to her. Anyway, I don't go that deep with the show, but that was just my take.
I like this Kardashian breakdown.
Oh, man. All right, that's too much. Drew Bledsoe at 8:30. We're giving away Dave Matthews Band tickets at 8:45. If you're just joining us, good for you. You missed everything up to this point, which is good for you indeed. Niners win last night, 24-21. You apparently want to read something. Go ahead.
Yeah, the 707. You're wrong and you're out of line. I'm not friggin' Caitlyn Jenner. That right there chapped my ass, buddy.
Low would be Caitlyn Jenner.
That's not funny. I mean, that's just wrong.
You don't want to be an Olympian? You were claiming earlier how as a wrestler you were so good. You and Kurt Angle, Olympian wrestlers.
I just wanted to do that.
Actually, of all the Jenners, you probably align with the athlete the most, you and Caitlin.
Okay. I just was just reading that. I didn't have any necessarily a comment. I'm not going to go down there with you. I'm good.
I'm okay. Fine being down here by myself talking about it. You can stay wherever you want to stay. I'll talk about this for 2 hours. It makes the most sense when you think about it. He would be Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner's an Olympian, famous athlete.
Don't start hunching your shoulder like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that with him. No. Don't.
Don't. Oh, yeah. It's me and you.
Oh, yeah. Very quietly, when he thought no one was looking, he does the you and me dibs. Yeah. It's just you and me. Forget about him. But he can be so mean. We got to work together.
Dibs tried to make me drink yesterday. And now it's let's be buddy buddy.
What an emotional wreck. You are Kim. You get to be Kim. Train wreck of a human being over there. All right, back to business. Yesterday, the Niners beat the Cowboys 24-21. Booster Club not thrilled because the Niners were 3.5-point favorites, but whatever. Whatever. We're all working through it. We'll get to week 1 against the Minnesota Vikings. I think the biggest story coming out of this game, and there's some nitpicking we can do at the positional groups. There's some winners, some losers. We're going to do the whole breakdown here, but let's start with the injuries. That's not how you want to conclude a preseason game. The next day, having an injury report that reads as such: Solomon Thomas, concussion. Gary Gilliam, concussion. George Kittle, Matt Breida, shoulder injuries that Kyle Shanahan said will take, quote, some time. Eli Harold with a knee injury, Malcolm Smith with a hamstring injury. I mean, it doesn't appear as if any are going to be season-ending, which is the upside, but the downside here is, you know, they're already thin on the offensive line, losing Gilliam there. They're already thin at corner. Some of these are some big blows, and George Kittle, you want to be ready for the start of the season because that could be the red zone solution to the problem they had last year. So what do we make of this? Do you alter the strategy this week? Do you go a little bit lighter at practice to avoid more injuries? Do you ramp it up? What are you thinking?
I think you go lighter to avoid additional injuries. And obviously, guys like Solomon Thomas, who are going to have to go into that concussion protocol, you may not see them again until the third preseason game, if at all, which is unfortunate. You get a player early on to get a concussion, and that's a bad sign because we know that the recurrence of a concussion is more likely to happen in a shorter period of time as opposed to later in the year. The one that kind of affects me, though, is the George Kittle, because I saw that play, and he goes and lays out for the ball, and what happens at the tail end of that? He gets his legs cut because the defender who comes over last, instead of trying to go in there and break up the play, maybe shoulder first or go high, he decides to go low, and then that's what causes Kittle to land on his shoulder weird.
Yeah, that's what I was laughing at. Low. You saw that seam route. You know, Kittle beats the linebacker, man coverage. Safety comes in, they squeeze it, and take him out. He falls, lands weird on his shoulder. You see him gets up. and he's squeezing it. These injuries are going to happen. We understand because of the lack of contact during training camp now. It's, you know, with the new collective bargaining agreement, guys aren't able to toughen up themselves and get ready for the type of games they're going to go through and be in a physical game. And then once 2 weeks of practice, now, okay, game time, let's go. And these guys run on the field. They try to take it up next level. You hear guys step it up. You watch the intensity. You see everyone. Okay, now it's live. We're tired of hitting other guy, our own guys. Let's go hit other guys. And you see what happened. You're going to get injured because of the fact you're not able to hit as much. And so you're going to see injuries. You're going to continue to see injuries. I love the way Baltimore, the way they practice. You watch the way how they are. Coach Hardball does a great job of getting guys hitting more, not because you can't scrimmage. You don't want to beat guys up like that. I understand that. But do more of the form tackling. Do more of the, where you guys running, you're getting guys used to hitting, getting more guys butting each other up, one another up. Because right now with this agreement, the way that it's set up, you're going to continue to see injuries because guys, they're not ready. They're not ready for the season.
The focal point for many today will be on the players that are going to be down and out over the next few days, possibly weeks. We are going to take the optimistic approach. Some of these injuries are going to open the door for some players to make some waves. Let's start with the Solomon Thomas injury. Suffers a concussion. Likely going to be taken very seriously over the next week or so. Who knows if we see him at all heading into preseason game number two. He's going to play a big role this year. But with Thomas down, Julian Taylor gets to step up and get more reps. He played almost the entire game yesterday. This kid out of Temple, what, seventh rounder, freakish athletic ability, but very raw, needs to be developed. Stepped in and played huge. They gave him the whole game. He was all over the field. Where the hell are the notes? A sack, two QB hits, tackle for a loss. He's going to have a big opportunity here with Solomon Thomas down.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, I always say, you talk about it, opportunities never lost, given to someone else. I love it when you see certain guys. Now, you don't want them to stay down and stay injured. Of course not. But when guys go down, that's when stars are born. I mean, you look at Kurt Warner, you go around the league. How many guys have you guys seen go down? Dak Prescott, guys go down. And these young players are guys that no one had any clue that they was even going to. Wally Pipp, that people didn't even think that they were going to make a team. And now all of a sudden, they're thrusting the position to start, and some of these guys hold on this job. So when you see now these younger guys, you know Foster played well, but now you're going to see different guys come in and play. You know, Lee, you know, I know Smith played, but then you're going to see Lee and other guys, Watson, the backup guys, coming in and play. So when Thomas went down, you see Marsh come in and play. You look at the backups. That's what you want. You want to see your backups play well because you kind of know who your first strings are, but you want to see what your guys, your second and third string guys can do. And this is a prime opportunity for these guys to get the burn then.
Who would you put on Mount NFL Wally Pittmore? Kurt Warner, because Trent Green got hurt, opening up the door for Warner to become Warner.
Tom Brady's got to be in the number one spot.
Right there. And Drew Bledsoe will join us, interestingly enough, at 8:30 today.
I'm trying to remember the...
Make that clear right now.
As I go old guy mode again, I think Billy Kilmer replaced Sonny Jurgensen way back, and he went on to do big things. And
I remember that. I was live tweeting that.
When the Dolphins won one of their early Super Bowls, I believe Don Strock came in off the bench to...
No one knows what you're talking
replace
about.
Replace Bob Greasy.
What are you
looking up? I'm doing what I always do. You want a mount? I'm going to give you a mount.
New rule. Okay. New rule. You can only go back to the start of Joe Montana. That's how everything works moving forward. Joe Montana is the start of all things we discuss. Everything,
that's half my life, Coach.
Too bad. Don't be so old.
It's like when Otto Graham came in and replaced old Pop Warner.
It's like all these reference points. It's like people driving around. Our top demos are like, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
No.
Okay, it's like when Jimmy G replaced C.J. Beathard. That goes on the mound because it happened just a couple months ago.
Okay, now you're at least relevant. Now, you wouldn't put that on the mound because we all knew it was coming, but you're at least time relevant.
I appreciate you bringing me back, Joe.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You can throw Dak in there. Here's a guy that, you know, that
that's a good one.
Yeah, Dak Prescott steps in. Tony Romo, who's probably going to go down in history as Hall of Fame type of announcer.
You thought it was going to be player, Hall of Fame type announcer. I don't know. Give him some time. You could see him in the Hall of Fame for radio broadcasting. Very fair point, Lorenzo.
We're putting him on a Hall of Fame track after a NFL season.
We did it with Garoppolo after five games.
You've been doing it with Jimmy for five games. You did it all yesterday.
Wrong. You're wrong and you're out of line. I would never put him on a Hall of Fame Canton track. I'm too busy trying to get your butt further down in the ballot.
Oh, yeah. How's that coming?
I got to start working on that.
Have you done anything?
No, not since last year when I mentioned it once, and then a couple people got excited, and he became a semifinalist.
Thank you, Dibs.
You're welcome. Yes.
Yeah, right. Thank you. One time. Yeah.
When you get to Canton, I mean, you're going to have to either lead or close with Dibs' contributions to your career.
Yeah. Thanks. Shout out Dibs for tweeting it one time. There we go.
His 22,000 followers is a groundswell.
11,000 Russian bots have been totally persuaded to vote Lorenzo Neal into the Hall of
Although
Fame.
Although we did audit my account, and I'm running about 98% real Twitter followers.
You know what?
You got a loyal following out there.
Twitter audit.
I could always just go.
As you and I continue to do serious things before the show
always.
Start.
Maybe I can just
Twitter audit. Do it. See where you're at.
I can always get Putin to help me get in there.
Yeah, true.
It's too soon for those kind of jokes. The nation's still trying to heal.
Was it?
I don't know. I'm just making a joke. I don't. Sometimes so much going on.
I was like, I might have been, you know. Never.
Yeah, be careful though with the politics when you wade into that pool.
It's a flag. It's a flag, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a 10. We've made it very clear. We're not a political show.
Nope.
We don't even.
Give that one a 5. That's humor.
That's a 10.
That was humor.
If it had been funny, sure, but it wasn't.
That was funny.
No.
Putin to help me win, getting in.
Second Putin, second 5.
Yeah, that's
it's a 5.
And that joke's been out there for almost a year.
You're
now.
You're Putin all over this segment right now. It's not working for you.
You're Putin your pants. There you go. Yeah. Okay. All right, that's it for me, everybody. Stanley and the Guru coming up at 2:05.
Put a bow on that minute.
Get that.
It's 7:55. Good morning.
That beef line. That's what we get for the beef line. That's the reason why. Right there, what you guys just did. Beef line.
So you make a Russian political reference, we follow up on it, and you blame us.
No, because then you went for boo-booing on yourself, pooping your pants.
That's not even close to what I said.
He said poot in your pants.
Yeah. Factually accurate.
What? Poot in your pants.
This is my absolute favorite part of the show. When you get to a point where you look around and you're like, your brain has gone haywire. You're like, there's nothing I can do. I can't make a joke. I can't bring it back on track. I can't talk sports. You're just stuck in that no man's land.
Where is he stuck?
In the meta. Good God, man.
What is wrong with
We got all this content today. We cannot stick to it.
We're trying. We're trying to hang in there.
Damn, where were we even at?
We're talking about guys getting injured and guys stepping up when you went to the Wally
Pitt. How did we get to Putin? How does a George Kittle injury get to Vladimir Putin?
Dibs. Twitter audit.
Thank
that's what
you.
Happened.
How does it get to a Twitter audit?
Because we were talking about my great influence to get him into the Hall of Fame. Because he said Tony.
How does it get to that?
Because he said Tony Romo is going to be a Hall of Fame announcer, and I took immediate defense.
How does it get to that?
Because we were talking about
every layer here.
Dak Prescott.
Oh my God.
Dak, Wally Pipped, Romo.
There we go.
And that's how it all went. Because you wanted to mount Wally Pittmore. I went to Otto Graham.
Yeah, it comes back to me.
You scolded me.
Yes, that one's on me. You. Yeah. You started this right.
When you really break it down, that one's on me. I'll take 5. I'm not taking 10 like him. No, politics is 10. A simple derail is 5.
Yeah. Segment structure is like an illegal procedure, illegal formation.
How do you two always get to set the rules and the boundaries of what penalties are going to be? That's not right. You're wrong in that. You guys can't just always set it. And what's my name? Skip?
Excuse
and I don't want to hear that of you, Anna.
Excuse me. I was actually on your side on this point. Okay, never mind.
Skippy, who's been referred to as the sexy ref on this program? You or me?
Right.
When did that happen? Case.
Who has a yellow penalty flag
when
in his
When did that
backpack?
Happen?
Lil B, the base god. Lil B, the
yeah,
base god.
Yeah, you got to count it. Where's the ding? It's Lil B. He's the program. Got to count it.
And
official, but not sexy. So what do you?
That's fine. It's the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. I'll take Lil B over what your opinions would be on my physique, my torso. Secondarily, who among us has a penalty flag in their backpack today? Oh, that's right.
So Dips. Yeah, you got to score that one, too.
There you have it. That's why I am the ref of the show. Those, you know, and I whistle and whatever.
That played out poorly for you.
Beanbag. Right.
That's like they tell you as a lawyer, don't ever ask a question in court you don't already know the answer to. You just step all over, all up in horse manure. Back to the Future 3 style.
All in that Putin.
So you did. Walking around in those new cowboy boots, right in the manure.
Was that a Back to the Future 3 reference?
Yeah, because
incredible.
He steps in manure. And
right.
Then at the end, Biff ends up falling into the cart of manure as Marty and Crazy Doc try to make it back to the future, hence the title of the movie.
Guys, help me out. Is this not Drive Time?
Look at
Depends on your definition of Drive Time. This were the East Coast, it'd be about 11 a.m., and we'd be fine talking about this. Unfortunately for us, this is California. We're going to find ourselves in a hot mess here in about 2 hours.
It's me
Apparently
today.
The boss is back. What the hell? I might as well say this. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, yada, yada, yada. KGMZ FM and HD1Radio.com station. That counts. Score it. Welcome to the show. Talking about stuff. Drew Bledsoe at 8:30. Dave Matthews Band tickets at 8:45. I will say something serious here, or at least
yes, try
our definition of serious. The cornerback situation is starting to get alarming for me. Jimmy Ward got absolutely toasted on that touchdown pass last night. Now, that happens. That happens. First preseason game, I'm not going to overreact to one play. But I am going to take all the information in front of me, and I'm going to start to evaluate what we need to worry about and what we can get excited about with this Niner team, and the worries outweigh the excitement at the cornerback position. Let's take a look. Richard Sherman, great signing, still completely on board with it. Love the locker room presence, love the leadership abilities, love the fact that he will likely end up as a captain. He brings a lot to that locker room and that defense because that is a young, inexperienced defense. But Richard is not in his prime, and Richard's still coming back from the Achilles while also...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.